Procrastinating, a term most often used by the millennial generation, is a method of putting something off, delaying, or postponing something by taking part in the act of baking.
Welcome to Procrastibaking, a place to talk about our baking obsession and avoid doing everything else. Coming to you from Eastern North Carolina, I'm Rachel.
And from Southern California, I'm Louisa. And this isn't any old episode, is it, Rachel?
Nope. We've laughed, joked, and teased about it, but the day is finally here. This is our literally jam-packed episode. Let's get started with a little trivia, shall we? Okay, Lou, true or false, the difference between jam and jelly is that jelly is made with only fruit juice, but jam is made with both fruit juice and fruit pulp.
And that sounds like it could be true.
Ding, ding, ding.
Yay.
Congratulations. You win a jar of jam.
How exciting. But is it homemade by you, Rachel? Oh, jam?
I have some of that, so yes.
Okay, I'll take it.
You'll take it?
Yeah.
Okay, you've got a 50-50 chance at this one. What contains whole fruit? Fruit butter or fruit preserves?
Ooh, I'm going to guess fruit preserves.
Ding, ding, ding.
Yes.
You've got your second jar of jam.
I am going to rack up quite a collection of jam. What is fruit butter? I don't know what that is. I just guessed.
Well, that's our question number three.
Oh, how exciting. What is fruit butter? Oh, well, I don't know. I don't know what it is. It sounds yummy, though. Kind of like, have you ever seen at Trader Joe's they sell that cookie butter?
Yes, yes.
Yeah, I don't think this is the same thing, but.
Not quite, but it is lightly sweetened fruit paste, basically. So you cook the fruit down until it's like paste consistency and sweeten it.
Oh, okay. So just thicker than like a jam or a jelly? Okay.
Yes. And I've had apple butter the most, but I've also think I've had peach butter maybe.
Oh, apple butter. I have had apple butter. I just didn't question what I was eating. I was like, this just tastes good.
Okay. True or false, fruit spread contains only fruit?
I think that's false because there has to be something that makes it thicker. Does it have like pectin in it too?
No. So it is only fruit.
Oh, bummer. No jar for me. I only got three jars.
So I guess it's kind of like fruit butter, but not sweetened, I think.
I see.
Yeah, you only got three jars in this episode of Jamopoly.
People who hate puns and cheesy jokes are going to hate this episode. Sorry,
yeah, this
everyone.
Is not the one for you guys.
Yeah, don't start here. Well, that was exciting, Rachel. I look forward to receiving my three jars of jam in the mail.
I'm going to have to write that down. Send Lou three jars of jam.
Movies encourage our imaginations and delight our senses. Some special movies also tickle our taste buds. When that happens, we can't help but try to recreate the desserts they featured. Today's movie selection is Paddington. Rachel, have you seen the movie Paddington?
No, I have not, but I did Google a few video clips, and I have to say that I can relate to the part where Paddington comes in at full speed, tripping and falling over himself. And they ask him why he has come in crashing like a natural disaster. And I can relate to that feeling.
Yeah. You have also had similar situations of walking into your own
yes. home.
Well, you know, both you and Paddington have like that charming kind of clumsy, curious quality to you. So, yeah.
I think that's good.
I think it is good. It's definitely good. I really love, I did not read the books actually. I have just seen the first movie and like 70% of the second movie. But from what I saw, I really enjoyed it. It is like so heartwarming and Paddington is adorable. And it's, I don't know what the movie almost has like a whimsical quality to it, like the set design and all the beautiful yes. colors. Yeah. It's just so, beautiful.
Whimsical is a good word. Yeah.
Yeah. And watching him like gush over marmalade is basically what inspired our selection of this movie for today.
Yes. Whether you read the books or watch the movies, we know that Paddington loves his marmalade. I love the marmalade machine. I thought that was so cool.
Isn't it? And did you end up, well, I guess I'll backtrack. I really enjoyed the process of making marmalade. There's a scene in the second movie where he's like, spoiler alert, Paddington goes like to prison, or I think it's just to jail. I know.
Is he in jam jail? Or he's in a jam because he's in jail. There we go.
There you go. That's good. Let's trademark that. That's good. Rachel, he is in a jam because he ends up in jail over a classic misunderstanding, which I won't go into because I think that'll spoil it even more. But there's a scene where he's in jail, and of course his job is like to work in the kitchen. And he like makes marmalade with another inmate, I guess. Anyway, it's actually really cute. And I had a really great time making the marmalade. I made orange marmalade, like how Paddington likes it. And I found it to be like much easier than I originally thought. Right? Yeah. You're just like, I like that you're not peeling. I didn't know that you weren't peeling the oranges. So that's just like breaking down eventually over time after being boiled. My recipe, I don't know about yours, but mine had me like boil the oranges and the sugar and the water and then leave it overnight. And then pick it up the next day, and everything like broke down really easily. It did make a really big point though of hitting like a certain temperature. I think it said like 220 degrees Fahrenheit. So I had to like constantly check with my food thermometer, but it said that my recipe didn't call for pectin, which I know helps thicken up like jams and jellies. So it didn't add that. It said that to release the natural pectin in the oranges, I had to get it up to that specific temperature.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mine wasn't overnight. It was all one day process, but I did have to do the temperature because it also didn't have pectin.
Yeah, so I learned something new about pectin and the science behind it. So I don't know. I think it worked out pretty well. It made like a really, I have my recipe because I do not need like a ton of marmalade. it'd be too much marmalade, but I really enjoyed it. And I think it tasted really good. And in true Paddington fashion, I made several marmalade sandwiches with the marmalade. So yeah.
Did you say you didn't peel your oranges?
Yeah, I didn't. Did you?
Yeah. Mine had me peel them and cut the peel like in a like dice it almost.
Oh no.
Well, I didn't have to do your recipe next time. I mean, my fingers were so like astringent by the time from the juice peeling and peeling. Yeah.
Yeah. I just it just had me slice them into thin slices, but I didn't like to remove the peel. So like I guess over the time and the process of the heat, it just like made the peel soft enough to where it like just mushed in with the rest of it.
Yeah.
I know that doesn't sound appealing, but almost like when you're doing like candied, is that the word, candied oranges?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Kind of like that, I guess. So like the rind was in there, but it wasn't like a deterrent. It tasted good.
Yeah. It was in mine too. I just had to chop it up first, but I like that you chopped everything up as in one go.
Oh, I see. Yeah. So yours had you peel it. That just seems like an extra unnecessary step, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's because it ended up in there anyway.
Yes.
Well, I will send you the recipe that I used. I think it was very successful and I would make it again. I've been eating this marmalade all week on like Ritz crackers and like the three sandwiches I ate. So I even halving the recipe.
So made is a lot. The marmalade sandwich just marmalade in your world or does it have something else on it?
No, it's literally just marmalade and two pieces of bread. It's a lot of sugar. But it's really good. It's good in the morning.
Oh, yeah. I could see it being good in the morning.
Yeah. All I need is Paddington to come over to my house and enjoy it with me.
Yes.
Yeah. A From time to time, we like to take on a certain baking challenge. For this episode, we decided to take on jam tarts. Rachel, why don't you tell us what you made?
So I'm planning for this, and Louisa tells me that she's making homemade jam for her jam tart. And I was like, oh no, I have to make jam. So I didn't make jam because I remembered that I had a jar of homemade jam in my refrigerator.
Oh, great.
So I made my jam tarts with pre-made homemade jam. I had a blueberry peach jam that I'd made. And then I also made jam tarts. I'd made three fillings. I did that one. I had a farmer's market plum jam. And, oh, shoot, I forgot what the third one was. Something else brown.
A surprise mystery jam.
Brown jam. I used the marmalade. I used the marmalade.
Oh, I see. Okay.
And I, you know what? I did not like the jam tarts.
You didn't.
It was a shortbread crust, and the crust was okay by itself. But when I put the jam on it, it's just overly sweet.
Like, okay, so you feel like the crust itself, like it didn't, because you know how like it can balance out like the sweetness level depending on what you're baking it in. So it didn't do that at all.
It didn't do that. It was still too sweet. It like hurt my teeth sweet. Like I don't want a second bite. So
what type is it, like short crust or like shortbread crust?
Like shortbread.
Oh,
I wonder if that was the problem.
Yeah. That seems like it's just too much for this type of tart.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cause you're adding the shortbread crust does it have sugar in it?
It does. Yeah.
Yeah. That might be too much sugar.
So like sugar on sugar. Yeah. I mean, I got compliments on them. We took them to a party. A pool party, and people said they were good, but you know, some people just say that to be nice. So I don't really know if they liked them or not, because there was a handful of them left. So I don't know how good they were.
You know what you need to do is make them again, and then hook these guests up to like a lie detector and say,
yes.
Do you like these jam tarts? Is this too sweet? Tell the truth.
They're in a jam now.
I'm so sorry for all the jam jokes, you guys. They're funny to us.
That's true. So how did your jam tarts turn out?
Okay. So, I have a question for you, which relates to mine. So do you have the molds for jam tarts or just those little mini tarts? Because I don't. So I had to improvise and I used like the mini cupcake pan that I have. I just put them in there for my crust.
Yes. So they're not individual molds, but I have like a pan that is like a mini tart pan, like nonstick pan. It's got like 12 of them, I think.
Okay. Well, I guess I discovered that I guess I don't really need a pan because they worked out in the using like my mini cupcake pan.
It sounds like a good pan.
Yeah. I had a similar experience though. Not really with the sweetness. Mine was a short crust dough.
Mm-hmm.
And so there wasn't any sugar in it. And I did make homemade mango jam, which was, I think, like the highlight of all of this jam.
That sounds so good.
Experimentation. Oh, Rachel, it was so good. And again, just like, I feel like jam as a concept, like making jam and, well, I guess canning is a different thing. We'll talk about that in a minute. But just making the jam itself, it seemed so much harder in my head until I started making it. And I was like, oh, I want to make all sorts of jams now. The next one on my list that I didn't have time to make for this episode, but that I really want to, is like a jalapeno strawberry jam, which sounds so good.
That does sound good. Lou, do you know what you've discovered?
What?
Jam is your jam.
Jam is my jam, Rachel. I need that on a shirt, I think. I really enjoy it. And it's just easier than I thought. I will say, though, this is a side conversation, but do you know much about canning? Because that's the one thing that I didn't really tackle in all of the jam making or the marmalade making. I didn't really experiment much with like how to can jam for like consumption when it's not like refrigerated. So I just put mine in the refrigerator, knowing that I would use it up soon. But
so I have canned, but it's been a couple of years, but I did can jam and it's like something else. I was taught how to can pickles, but I haven't actually done that on my own.
Okay.
Most jams, I believe you can in like a water bath on your stove, and you should be able to find a time online, probably like on a Ball website that says how long to boil the jars for the type of jam.
Oh, I see. Okay. But did you find it difficult?
I found it nerve-wracking, but not hard.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, I just felt a little overwhelmed knowing that it's important to do it right. Otherwise, you could like make everybody sick with your jam.
Yes.
That was very stressful to me. So I just put it in the refrigerator. I did like sterilize the jars, but beyond that, I didn't really do anything else. But yeah, so I don't know. Canning might be an adventure for another day. But the tarts, I thought they were a little underwhelming. I don't know. I didn't love the crust. And I thought the jam tasted good. I did a combo of like a homemade mango jam, like I said, and also like a mixed berry jam that I had just store-bought. And they were okay. Like they were just meh. You know?
Yeah.
Nothing like amazing. I don't know how I could improve on it though. Maybe I just don't like jam tarts. Maybe that's what I've discovered.
That's what I'm thinking too.
Right? We just don't like them. Add it to our unpopular opinion.
Yeah.
List. Or who knows? Maybe it is a popular opinion to not like jam tarts.
Yeah. Do you like jam tarts?
Poll. Let's put a poll out there. We need to know. So yeah, I don't think I would make them again, but I'm glad I tried. And I'm glad out of everything that I made, the mango jam, that was like, that made me really happy.
And also, I think I understood this, but didn't realize it, if that makes sense, that jam tarts is literally just a crust and jam. I was kind of thinking they would be something else. I don't know, like a layer of chocolate or something. I don't know.
Well, like last episode, I made an Italian jam tart, which was delicious.
Oh, yes.
But
yes.
Like, why was that really good and these little mini ones were not? I think it was maybe the dough was different.
Was it the pie dough?
Maybe. I'll have to go back and look at it. Because that one I really enjoyed.
And that was just jam too?
Yeah. Well, it was like just like blueberries that I threw in with some sugar and some lemon juice.
Okay. So maybe it was a little more fruity.
Maybe. Yeah. Maybe that's what it was. Yeah. We'll have to go back and compare. But yeah, not making jam tarts again.
Nope. We can cross those off. Done.
Wow, we're really vicious today. We're like, you are not jam tarts. You are not making the favorites of procrastinating list. You will not be in our March Madness next year.
I feel like I'm making more work for Ravel. I think we need like a list on our website of things we've said that we like, love, and hate.
Yeah, we do. That'll be what we'll work on in the hiatus between season 2 and 3.
In procrastinating lingo, DIY stands for bake it yours. We love to customize and tweak recipes to make them what we really, really want. And in this segment, we propose to show you how to do just that. For this episode, we decided to showcase a few desserts with a jam twist. Lou, tell us about your jam twists.
Okay, Rachel, I misunderstood.
I see that now in the script.
Because I saw you add it to the script and I was like, oh, we were supposed, okay, here's the thing. I looked at the thing and I saw the stuff we're going to make for this episode and it said jam twist. And for a minute, I sat there and I was like, I wonder if this means a dessert that you wouldn't typically have jam in. So like a dessert with a twist that is jam, or if she means literal jam twists. And I was like, are jam twists really a thing? And I looked them up and they are. And I was like, oh, well, I think we're making jam twists. And so, yeah, so I literally made jam twists. So,
well, tell us what that is.
I left so hard for like 10 minutes.
I love it.
So jam twists are like pretty much what they sound like. It's just, okay, so you can make the puff pastry. I'm not even going to go into my history of puff pastry. Everybody knows by now that it's very stressful for me. So I did do store-bought puff pastry, and it's super easy. You just like have the two sheets of puff pastry, and you're just spreading some jam, whatever flavor you want. So I guess in a way I did DIY because I just included whatever I wanted. sort of. I did a blackberry jam that I did not make that I already had for this one. And then you are like cutting the puff pastry into strips and then you're just twisting the strips around each other to make like a braided look. And then those go in the oven for like maybe 12 minutes. And then when they come out, you can sprinkle whatever you want. They mentioned like powdered sugar, but you could do like a cinnamon and brown sugar. I did some that had a little bit of that. And they're delicious. They're so good, Rachel, and they're easy.
That sounds way better than a jam tart.
Yeah. Jam twist versus jam tart. Jam twist wins.
Definitely.
Now, a dessert with jam twist, that could be something different. I'm excited to hear what you said because you actually followed the assignment, the rubric. Yeah.
I didn't make my jam for this. I had something that I bought at the farmer's market. I bought some caramel apple pecan fruit butter. And it's really good. It is really good. But what do you do with that? I mean, come on.
Yeah.
So I bought it. I was going to put it in macarons, but I haven't made those in a while because I got mad at them.
That's your puff pastry.
Yes. Yeah. So I thought I would use it for this. And I like dolloped it on brownies and then swirled it in and baked them. It's so good.
That sounds
amazing.
That's
a lot of flavors, but it's really good.
Yeah, no, that sounds really good. Where did you find this jam again?
At the farmer's market.
Oh, fancy.
Yes, but I was wavering on whether or not to make the brownies or to put it with the cinnamon butter filling and cinnamon rolls. I think you could put a lot of different flavored jam there, and it would be really good.
Yeah, the cinnamon roll sounds like a great idea. I think the flavor combination is interesting. Caramel, apple, pecan.
Yes, It was still fairly smooth. I think the only chunky pieces in it were the pecan, so that was good.
Okay.
Yeah, and I could picture eating like a caramel apple that's like rolled in crushed pecans, so I think that's kind of following that.
Okay.
I was worried about putting it in the brownie because I was like, that's like a fourth flavor.
Yeah, that's what I like. Just hearing it, it's almost like you wouldn't expect it to work because it's one too many things, but it sounds like everything was just subtle enough that it wasn't like...
Yes.
Too much of one flavor.
Apple was probably like the subtlest flavor. It was probably more caramel pecan brownies with like a maybe is there an apple in there type thing. And I took a pan to work and they got devoured. So that's a good sign.
See, and you don't even need a lie detector for this one because I'm sure they were delicious. I'm sure your tarts were delicious too. It's just, what is it about like bake? I think bakers tend to be really hard on them. So I do this too. Like I'll bring something and then people will be like, to my face, tell me that they love it. And I'm like, no. I think you're just being...
I don't think you do.
I think you hate it. Now, it's almost like a little of like baking imposter syndrome in there, I think.
Yes, definitely.
Our friend Kevin, who I know through my husband.
Kevin who ate a cookie, right?
Yeah, Kevin who ate my quesito. Do you remember Kevin?
Yes.
Yeah. So Kevin has his own podcast.
Oh.
I'm going to promote it here, I guess, because I want to also mention that Kevin had an episode about imposter syndrome on his podcast, which really spoke to me because I think it's something, I think maybe we both do this, Rachel, just like feeling like we're having successful things at work or whatever, and then just like discounting our successes and feeling like we're just in these successful places because of like by accident or, you know, yes. So sometimes I feel that way with baking is what all of this is a long way to say. Sometimes I have imposter syndrome with baking and I feel like I've learned so much and I've grown so much as a baker and then I'll have like a success and I don't always allow myself to enjoy like the compliments around like whatever I made. So I would like to work on that, I think, because
me too. I can relate to that. Do you remember the name of Kevin's podcast?
So yes. Yeah, so his podcast is called Voice Boy Kev because he is a voice actor. And his podcast is like, I think it's great. It's him just talking about like his everyday life, but it's also a lot of voice acting related tidbits, like how to get started in the business or like working with agencies and like representation. Like he and my husband Raul speak Spanish. So like getting into that market, if you have like a language skill. So he gives a lot of helpful like insight into the business, but also a lot of just fun, random thoughts. And he's really funny. And I recommend you check him out. And he has been a longtime supporter of our podcast, which I appreciate. So
yeah,
he's always keeping up with us. So yeah, I highly recommend. And yeah, one of the latest episodes is on imposter syndrome, which I highly recommend if you're kind of like us and have trouble accepting the kudos and congratulations. So yeah, very good.
Awesome. That sounds like a good listen.
Yeah. Baking is a fun way to explore the food of other countries. This season, we've been baking our way around the world without leaving our kitchens. In this episode, we traveled to Greece. I'm pretty sure what's coming next.
You guessed it. Trivia. Okay. Here we go.
Okay.
There are more or less than 100 islands in Greece.
There are more.
Ding, ding, ding.
Yes. How many are there?
Another jar of you. There are at least 129.
Wow. That's a lot of islands.
Yes. And some of them are uninhabited, but they count them anyway.
Yeah.
What two colors make up the Greek flag?
Oh, dear. I feel like this one I should know. Is it blue and white?
Ding, ding, ding.
Okay. That was a pure guess just from that really beautiful city that I don't know the name of, but all of the, right? Isn't it all the buildings are like blue and white?
Are painted. Yeah.
Yeah.
What is an ingredient in the Greek dish moussaka?
Oh, moussaka. Okay. Is phyllo dough in it? No.
I don't think so.
Moussaka. Is it meat?
There is meat, yes. It is meat, eggplant, and potatoes.
Mmm, that sounds good.
It does sound good. And last question. What is the most important celebration in Greece?
/holiday. The most important celebration /holiday. I don't know. Do they have like a Greek Independence Day? Or is it like a holiday that I would know, like that we would celebrate
here?
It's
a holiday that you would know, yes.
Oh, okay. Is it Christmas?
It's not. It's Easter.
Easter? Oh.
Yes. Easter is, so Christmas is second to Easter in Greece.
Okay. Oh, wow.
They have a lot more traditions and feasts and different things to celebrate Easter.
That's cool.
Yes.
How many jars of jam did I get from this?
You got 1, 2, 3 jars of jam. So now you have 6.
So much jam. I'm with you, Rachel. I would totally go to Greece. We'll have to go someday.
Yes.
I think it would be good when we're like retired and a little bit older, you know?
Ooh, yeah. I could see that.
Kind of like
might not come back.
Yeah, I think we'll totally end up staying there. But maybe that's why we'll save it for that period in our lives. Like, I'm just happy here in Greece. Just be staying. That's essentially the plot of Mamma Mia, isn't it? Like, doesn't she just stay? I really don't know. I've seen Mamma Mia like one time. Anybody who loves Mamma Mia, just tell me.
Yeah, I don't think I've seen it, actually.
I'm pretty sure Meryl Streep goes to Greece and then never comes home. Because she falls in love with someone. I don't know. We'll find out. I'll Wikipedia it later. Okay, so I guess now is a good time to talk about our Greek desserts, right?
Yes.
Okay, so I will start us off. I decided to make, I hope I'm saying this correctly, loukoumades? Loukoumades.
Yes, I think so.
And they are essentially Greek donuts that are like drenched in honey and have nuts on top, or at least the recipe I saw had nuts on top. And they were so good. They're like more like donut holes, I guess, if you want to get specific. So they're like deep fried balls of dough, and they were super easy to make. I was able to make them vegan with no problems. And I just loved how like fluffy and soft they were. And the honey, I think that's my favorite part. Like the honey with them was perfect. The nuts, like the walnuts I could have done without, or I kind of wish I had subbed pistachios instead of walnuts.
I was just gonna say pistachios would be really good.
Yeah, pistachios to me seems like it would fit better. So if I made them again, that's what I would do. But even without the nuts, like the honey and the dough combination just makes it
like
great on its own.
Baklava donut.
Yes, exactly. And I really loved it. I mean, I thought about like making something more complicated, but honestly, this was just a good fit for where I am in my life right now. I needed something quick and easy and delicious, and this delivered. So I would totally make them again.
Did your dough have to like rise or something overnight?
It did. And really, I think it would have been ready in a couple of hours. It didn't even need to be overnight. I did it overnight just because it made more sense with my schedule. But I think it rose within 2 hours. And yeah, very low maintenance recipe.
It sounds
which I
good.
Love.
I love that every like culture had like a fried dough recipe.
Yes, you can never go wrong with fried dough, I think. We should put that on a shirt.
There we go.
Just generating these t-shirt ideas.
Love it.
Okay, so what did you decide to make?
I don't know how to say it. Galactoberk? It's a Greek custard pie. This particular one was made in like a 9x13. And I put the phyllo, store-bought phyllo dough on the bottom, made a custard that I should have listened to my gut on and not the recipe. It was supposed to be made with semolina, but the internet said I could sub that for flour, just all-purpose. It was basically the thickener for the custard. And I think that was okay, but the recipe said that the custard would be kind of lumpy or grainy, and then in the oven as it baked in the pie that it would smooth out. That was not true.
Oh, no.
It was a inedible lumpy mess when it came out.
Oh, no. That's a bummer.
Yeah. So it's like phyllo on both sides, top and bottom, and then the custard. And the custard smelled good. And the phyllo dough was fantastic because you pour like a syrup over it when it bakes. So it was kind of like baklava on top.
Okay.
So I peeled off that and ate that. But the custard was not edible. And in my head, I was like, no, I have to like do something to this custard to make it smooth. I need to like keep beating it. I need to strain it. But I was like, no, the recipe says, and like it mentions it. So I think if I would have worked with the custard a little more to smooth it out, it probably would have been very good.
Very good.
So I think I will try it again. Just maybe half it to start with to see if it actually smooths out.
Okay. Yeah. That's always really frustrating when you like have a feeling something's not quite right, but then but you defer to the recipe. You're like, it must be the way it needs to be, because obviously they've like tested it and it worked out. It makes me think about like all the rose water I added to my Iranian dessert, which yes. I regret because it smelled so good on its own, and then it was way too much.
Our friend Randy was here and I told him about it. He's like, oh, that sounds good. Sounds like something my mom used to make. And I was like, great. And then I tasted it before I let him have it. I was like, no, you're not eating this. I was like, I'm not just even being picky. Like, this is not good.
Is Randy Greek?
No, he said, and I looked it up, but we couldn't find it on the internet. So he was going to ask his mom for the recipe. They used to make something called a nanny tart. And it was some kind of dough that he thought was close to phyllo dough maybe, and then custard on top.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
That's really cool. Okay. So that was your low?
Yes, very much.
It's a bummer. Okay.
Because then I have a whole 9x13 pan that's just no good.
I know. That's so hard. I think your idea is good. Maybe try it again, but with a smaller portion to see how it goes.
Oh, and I have decided I officially hate phyllo dough.
You don't like phyllo dough? Ooh.
It's like breaking. As I like roll it out and try and separate the sheets, it's a pain in the butt.
It is very delicate, very sensitive.
And I'm like a Paddington in a marmalade factory. A natural disaster.
A little rough and tumble in the kitchen.
There we go. So yes, most of the time I enjoy eating phyllo dough. Sometimes I don't. If it's super flaky, which I know is what you want, like I don't like it.
Oh, I see. So like when you have baklava, do you... Is that off-putting?
I like it, but I think it's because there's so much syrup.
I see.
That it like changes the texture of it a little bit.
Softens it out a little bit.
But like a lot of pastries, I don't end up liking, like that Milly Filly thing we made.
Oh, the
Milly Filly, that was it. Yeah. Milly Filly.
Milly Filly.
That's like a children's book about a pony.
Well, that's what it reminded me of was it reminded me of Milly Vanilly, which is like, do you remember? It was like a random band. Like, I don't even know when in the 80s.
Say, was it like a rapper or something?
Yeah. And they like lip synced. Then it came out that like, they didn't even sing their own lyrics. I don't know. Someone else could probably fill in the details more. Raul's probably going to hear this and be like, no, it's actually in 1991 and blah, blah, blah. But that is my very vague idea. But that's what it reminds you of. Long story short.
So I do not like that type of pastry.
Okay. We'll add that to the list too.
Yes.
All right, everyone. Thank you for tuning into our season 2 finale.
And because it wouldn't be a finale without more
trivia.
That's right. We've packed this episode with jam and trivia. And Lou is our contestant for all of these because she's going to go home with a whole suite of jam.
I'm so excited.
And you sound like you really are. Okay, so let me turn the page here on my cheat sheet. True or false, Episode 1, Procrastinating Defined, is the top episode of Season 1.
Oh, I think that's true, because it's the first one, so.
Ding, ding, ding.
Yay.
Question number 2, what is the top episode of Season 2?
Ooh, okay, let me think. I'm going to guess maybe one of the earlier ones, just because I think statistically that's what happened. Is it O Canada?
It's not. It's the first one of Season 2. Season 2, Episode 1, Hot and Fresh.
Okay. Makes sense.
Number 3, what percent of listeners are from outside the USA?
Ooh, I know we do have some other countries joining us. So I'm going to guess like 10%.
No, 6%.
Ah, okay.
Close, though. And last one, true or false, UK listenership makes up 1% of our audience.
That sounds like it could be true.
Ding, ding, ding. You got two more jars.
What a random prize for trivia, huh? But
right?
Delicious. Well, I'm a little sad, but also very proud of us for getting through another season of Procrastibaking.
Yes, because if you listen to the season finale of episode 1, our husbands did not think we were, season 1, our husbands did not think we were serious.
I know, but here we are. We are committed. And I really have enjoyed all parts of doing the podcast, even when life gets really hectic and it's like hard to schedule or we have to like reschedule multiple times, usually because of me. I was going to say because of me, I always feel so bad. I'm like, can we do it next week? But when we eventually do sit down on recording day, it like brings me such happiness and peace. And I also get to procrastinate on other things that I don't want to do as much, like respond to boring emails or, you know, the horror that is the laundry. So I don't know. The podcast brings me a lot of joy, and I hope it brings our listeners joy, and I hope it like encourages people to bake more. And I've loved like connecting with friends who have listened to our podcast and want to send me pictures of things they've made or ask me questions. Like all of that has been really fun. So yeah, a lot of good things. And I'm looking forward to season 3. We'll be back.
Yes. And I love to, like, we haven't had a ton of them, but I'm hoping we'll get more. Like when people do the ode twos, even if they do them as someone else, I find it highly entertaining. So I really enjoy that.
Yeah, we've had some really great ode twos. So more of that to come, I think.
Yes. Thank you for listening to this episode of Procrastibaking. We hope we provided some food for thought for your next Procrastibaking project. As always, the links and photos discussed in this episode can be found in our show notes. Procrastibake with us on Facebook and Instagram while you wait for our next season to rise.
We're taking a short break, but in the meantime, we would love to hear what you would like us to bake up in season 3. You can reach us on social media or at procrastibaking@yahoo.com. Stay tuned for an upcoming blooper minisode and sneak peeks at season 3. Until next time, stay sweet.
This has been Procrastibaking. If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe on Apple Podcasts and leave a good review. You can also subscribe to us on Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, and many more. You can also subscribe to our RSS feed directly from our website at procrastibakingpodcast.com. Also, feel free to follow us and give us your feedback on social media on Instagram at procrastibakingpodcast and Facebook at facebook.com/procrastibakingpodcast. If you'd like to share your procrastibaking stories and photos with us, you can send an email to procrastibaking@yahoo.com. Procrastibaking is hosted and created by Rachel Rhodes and Luisa Gonzalez, produced and edited by Raul Ceballos, theme music by Alex Walker-Smith, and show artwork by Rob Demers.